The drizzle finally stopped around 9, but the city didn't seem to notice. It's San Martin Day, a national holiday, and Cordoba is doing what it does best on a long weekend in winter. Absolutely nothing. The streets are empty, the cafes are half full, and even the pigeons in Plaza San Martin look like they're taking the day off. I've been here just over a week now, and this quiet feels different from the usual weekday hum. It's like the whole city exhaled at once. I decided to lean into it. No grand plans, no hiking in the Sierras, no museum dash. Just a slow walk through the center, a coffee somewhere warm, and maybe a final look at the places I've come to recognize as mine. I started at the Manzana Jesuitica, which on a normal day is swarming with students cutting through on their way to the university. Today, the Jesuit block was almost empty, the old stone walls of the Colegio Nacional de Montserrat glowing faintly in the gray light. I stood there for a while, thinking about how this place has been standing since the 1600s, long before Argentina was even a country. From there, I wandered down to the Paseo del Buen Pastor, my usual reference point in Nueva Córdoba. The old prison, now a cultural center, was closed for the holiday, but the courtyard was still open, and a few families were taking photos under the wet trees. I found a bench, sat down, and pulled out my notebook. It's my last full day here, and I wanted to make a list of everything I'd done. The hike to Quebrada del Condorito, the Corpin at the roadside stand, the Lomito at Standard 69, that Peña where I heard my first live cuarteto. 8 days, and it already feels like a lifetime. I also thought about the money. It's something I can't stop thinking about, because it shapes every decision here. A simple lunch at a middle-of-the-road place runs about 23,000 pesos, maybe $25, and a coffee is around 5,000, which sounds like a lot until you remember the exchange rate. I've been trying to keep track of what a day actually costs me. The bus fare, the empanada, the occasional beer. It adds up, but it's still cheaper than most cities in Europe or the US, if you're careful. The local currency is a moving target, though. Inflation is something you feel in your bones, the way prices creep up between 1 week and the next. My phone buzzed. It was a message from a friend I'd made at the Peña the other night, asking if I'd heard about the Mercadezo at the Complejo Ferial. The first one, apparently, a free gastronomic fair with over 180 provincial producers, cooking classes, and local food. I'd missed it on Saturday and Sunday, but she thought the fair might still be open today, even with the holiday. I checked the time. It was barely noon. I decided to go. The bus ride out to the Complejo Ferial took about 20 minutes. The bus was nearly empty, just a few old ladies with shopping bags and a kid in a San Martin t-shirt. I paid my fare with my SUB card, which I finally got in the hang of, and watched the city slide by. The fair was in a big exhibition hall on the edge of the city, and even from the bus stop, I could see the crowd milling outside. It wasn't a full weekend crush, but there were dozens of stalls set up under tents, and the smell of grilled meat hit me as soon as I walked in. I spent the next hour doing what I do best, eating. First, a locro, the hearty winter stew of corn, beans, and sausage, served in a little plastic bowl for about 6,000 pesos. Then a slice of salami from a producer from the Sierras, who told me about the cold, dry air that makes it cure just right. I washed it down with a glass of regional Malbec, sweet and heavy, and watched a chef I vaguely recognized from TV do a cooking class on a stage in the corner. I didn't catch the names, but the food was good and the people were friendly, and for a moment the city felt alive again. I thought about a conversation I'd had the night before with a woman at the guest house where I'm staying. She was from Buenos Aires, visiting her daughter who studies here, and she told me that the cost of living in Cordoba is lower than in the capital, but not by as much as people think. Rent for a modest one-bedroom flat outside the center goes for around 620,000 pesos a month, which is nearly $700.
For a student, that's a lot.
She said her daughter shares a place in Nueva Córdoba with three others, and they barely manage. I thought about that as I finished my Malbec. When I left the fair, the sky had cleared a bit, and the air was cold but dry. I walked around the hall, past the stalls of dried fruits and artisan cheeses, and stopped to buy a bag of membrillo, quince paste, for the road. The woman at the stall charged me 4,000 pesos, and she smiled when I asked if I could pay with my phone. "Claro," she said, and I tapped my card against the reader, the contactless payment going through in seconds. It's a small thing, but it feels like progress, navigating this economy without fumbling. I took a different bus back, a slower one that looped through the southern neighborhoods. We passed Villa El Libertado, where apparently there was a big festival for the Virgin de Urquipina last weekend, with thousands of people, all the way from Friday to Sunday. I had managed to catch it, but the bus driver, a chatty older man, told me about the processions and the food stalls and how the streets had been closed all weekend. He said it was the first time they'd hosted it, and it went off without a hitch, which seemed to surprise him. I liked the way he told it, with a kind of civic pride that felt real. Back in the center, I stopped at a cafe I'd been meaning to try, Fox, near the university. I ordered a quart d'eau and a slice of cake, not because I was hungry, but because I needed to warm up. The place was quiet, just a few students hunched over laptops, and I sat by the window, watching the drizzle start again. It's funny. I came to Cordoba expecting clear winter days and crisp nights, and instead I got the damp, gray tail end of winter. But there's something about this weather that makes the city feel intimate, like you're sharing a secret with the streets. I thought about the items on my list that I hadn't done. The Che Guevara Museum in Alta Gracia, the Jesuit estancias along the Camino de las Estancias, the wine valleys of the Calchaquís, which is where I'm headed next. I've been planning this overland route for weeks, and tomorrow I'll take the bus north, through the Sierras and into the dry Andean northwest. But today, all I have to do is exist in this city, and I want to do it properly. I paid for my coffee, about 5,000 pesos, and headed back out into the damp. I walked through Guimes, past the Paseo de las Artes, which was shuttered for the holiday, and down the cobblestone streets, where a few brave antique dealers had set up tables under awnings. I bought a small silver ring from a woman who said it came from the Sierras, and she wrapped it in brown paper without asking what I intended to do with it. I didn't know either. Maybe I'll wear it on my finger, or maybe I'll give it to someone I meet along the way. By late afternoon, I was back in my neighborhood, the guest house on the edge of Nueva Cordoba. I had a few hours before dinner, so I sat in the common room, writing in my notebook, and looked through the photos I'd taken over the week. There was one of the condors at Quebrada del Condorito, wings spread wide against a gray sky. Another of the Lomato at Standard 69, dripping with ham and egg and cheese, a testament to Cordoba's greatest gift to sandwich lovers. And one of the Pena, a blur of movement and laughter, everyone singing along to the folk songs I didn't yet know. That night, I went back to La Vieja Esquina, a restaurant I'd noticed on my first day here, tucked into a corner of the center. The place was warm and dim, with an open kitchen, and I ordered a Lomato because it was my last night, and I wanted to start and end with the same ritual. It cost about 15,000 pesos, which is steep for a single sandwich, but worth every bite. I ate slowly, savoring the meat, the cheese, the soft bread, and I thought about how the city, which initially felt so foreign, had become a kind of home. As I walked back to the guest house, the streets were quiet, the holiday having emptied them out entirely. I stopped in front of the Cabildo, the old colonial town hall, and looked at the flag hanging at half-mast in honor of San Martin. It was a small gesture, but it made me feel like I was part of something bigger, a country remembering its past even as it struggles with its present. I thought about the cost of living, about the peso slide, about the woman at the guest house and her daughter, and I felt a deep respect for the people who make this place work day after day, without letting it break them. I got back to my room, packed my bags for tomorrow, and lay down on the bed, listening to the rain finally start. It was a steady, rhythmic sound, like a heartbeat, like the city's pulse. Tomorrow I'll board a bus north, toward the Sierras and beyond, toward the Calchaquí Valleys and the Quebrada de Humahuaca, toward a mountain village I've only seen in pictures. But tonight, I'm here, in Cordoba on a quiet holiday that felt like a gift. I'm not sure I'll ever find the words to explain it, but this city, with all its gray mornings and late-night empanadas, has left a mark on me. Everything I've talked about, from the Mercadezo Fair to the best places for Alamito, is in the episode notes, along with tips on navigating the buses, finding a good coffee, and understanding the cost of living here. It's all in there, so you can plan your own slow drift through Argentina. I'll be back tomorrow from the road, from somewhere farther north, with more stories and more pesos to count. Until then, take care, and thank you for listening. Good night, Cordoba. I'll think of you often.
Hasta mañana.